Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
God, let's turn to the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was and where they had broken it up. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to talk for a few moments on extreme faith. You may be seated. Somebody said one time that the problem with you folks is you've got hyper faith. Kenneth Hagin Sr. is still alive. He said, I resent that greatly. We don't have hyper faith. We have super hyper faith. You can't get too much faith. The number one job of a pastor is to stir up the faith that is in you. That's what Paul was doing for Timothy, and that's what every pastor should be doing. I spent a lifetime going to churches, and not always did I have more faith when I left than I did when I entered. The kind of churches that we were experiencing, it was kind of a beat down. It's what one of my friends called me. He's got one of those beat down, sit down, take your beating blessings. I don't believe in that. I believe the word of God is used not to beat people down, but it is used to encourage people. According to the faith that you have, and everybody in this building has faith, I'm here to help you stir up your faith. I'm here to help you increase your faith. Pastor Brandt had Brother Mike up here, I was just thinking about him, Brother Mike's work going to the hospital, such a wonderful work. I was thinking back in the history of this church, about 30 years ago, I suppose, 35, I don't remember how long ago, it's been a long time ago. One of the sisters in this church called me, and she said, my next-door neighbor has got cancer. He got it because he worked on the railroad, and he came into some poisonous liquids, and he has poison. The railroad has retired him, and his retirement and a lawsuit settlement was $500,000. But said he's in bed, can't get out of bed. Could somebody come and pray for him? I sent a brother, I'll never forget that guy, I sent the brother out there to pray for him. And lo and behold, the guy didn't have a title that prayed for him. The guy hadn't been to Bible school. He was just a saint of God that was full of the Holy Ghost. But when he laid his hands on this man and prayed for him, the power of God came into that bedroom, not 2 miles from this church building where we sat. And when he walked in the next service, he said, Pastor Fender, I want to introduce you to this gentleman. Said he had cancer, and I went and prayed for him, as you ask, and he is totally healed. Totally healed. He was neighbor to a lady that was really quite a unique lady. Every time I'd preach, she would come down. She's in heaven now. But every time I would preach, she would come down the aisle and she'd say, the Lord told me that very same thing 2 weeks ago. So I was constantly running 2 weeks behind her. And I really wanted to resent that. But she had so much faith, it was hard to resent that. There is a good possibility that she knew something I didn't know before I knew it, because she stayed in prayer. She loved God. And so she went to the man that was healed the very next day, and she said, you're totally healed? He said, totally healed. She said, well, that's just one part of it. She got out her Bible and showed this Catholic man tithing, which he had never heard in his life. He said, let's go. He walked up to this church. I was in my office. He said, I need to see him. He came in and laid $50,000 on my desk. He said, this is the tithe on that. Praise God. He became so active in our church for years and years and years. I depended so much on him because God had done a great miracle. Now, that takes hyper faith. That takes super faith. That takes faith that is extreme. And that's what we want to do in this church. We want to have extreme faith. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is beyond God's comprehension and God's ability. And so here was a man that was really in bad shape. He really was. He was sick. But in his sickness, this is amazing. This man had to have tremendous faith. You know how hard it would be to get four men to carry you on their shoulders with a cot to a church service? That would be difficult to do. It would be hard for me to find four guys in this city that would bring one man on a cot into this building. This man had tremendous faith, and he also ran with people that had tremendous faith. There's the key to it. No matter how much faith you have, if you run with negative people, it's going to have a negative effect on your faith. Faith is a very difficult thing to obtain. You can get faith for a moment, but to live in faith every day, it is a real opportunity. It means you have to pray every day. You need to look at the Word of God every day. Just look at the Word of God and see what it says and realize that nothing is too difficult for God. God is beyond anything that you can imagine. I was preaching in Vidor, Texas at a camp meeting years ago. And in that meeting, it was a great meeting. The building was not that large, but it was packed and stacked as many as you get in that building. And all of a sudden, as I was preaching, I saw them bring a woman in. She was in scrubs. She and the person with her was in scrubs. They got a little seat in the back. And while I was preaching, the Holy Ghost came on me and said, "That woman is here for a reason." I went back to her and she said, "I have epilepsy." And she said, "I can't go an hour without a seizure. Not 1 hour. I came straight from the hospital to here. They did not want to release me, but I got out of the hospital because I heard you're a man of faith. I heard about this meeting." And she said, "I come believing that I am going to be totally cured." When I laid my hand on this woman, which was before that not even a believer, the power of God came on her. She fell down in between the pews. God baptized her with the Holy Ghost. She got up rejoicing. She didn't have to go back to the hospital, but she sent me a letter several weeks later and said, "I was totally healed. I haven't had a seizure since you laid your hands on me and God filled me with the Holy Ghost." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to awaken your faith to the possibility that God is about to do a miracle in your life. Because there's not a person in here that does not have faith. The Bible said every man was given a measure of faith. But after you're given that measure of faith, then God wants you to grow your faith. The greatest way to grow your faith is to use your faith. Just use it in everything. Use it in small things. Use it in big things. Becky used to drive Sean and Brandon to San Marcos for school every day. That's where they went to school, and we were going to stay up there most of the time in a ranch that we owned. We never did do that. So it ended up she had to drive up there, take them to school, come back, go pick them up, come back. She did that for all those years. And one of the things she'd do is they'd always stop and eat somewhere. And when they stopped and eat, she'd always say, "God, give us a place close to the window." And they had this, she'd just pray, "Make me pray with me, boys." She'd make those boys pray with her, and they'd always get a place close to the window. That's stupid. The truth is, if you will be stupid in little things of faith, you can get crazy in big things of faith. Oh, hallelujah. If you can believe God for a $5 miracle, you can have a $5,000 miracle. If you can believe God for a $5,000 miracle, you can believe God for a $100,000 miracle. You need to practice your faith every day of your life. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Some people don't really use their faith because they don't have any hope. They just think everything's going to continue as it was. But I get up every day. I get up every day. I know they get tired of it. But if I'm in the building, which I usually am at mail time, I usually get up and stay here at least till 1 o'clock. And so I'm in the building, But there's a little unwritten rule, and that is all the mail comes to me. I look at it because every day of my life, I'm expecting a miraculous thing in the mail. Every day of my life, I'm expecting a miraculous phone call. If you've got my phone, my private cell phone, I answer it every day. And I'm a blessed man. I've got a lady that calls and checks on me every day. She's so concerned about me. She's in India, but every day she calls and checks on my car insurance to make sure I have car insurance. That's how much she loves me. But I don't care what the phone is. If it is a, if it's spam, I don't care. I almost on the first ring of my phone, I answer it. And somebody said, well, I check the numbers to see who it is. I don't. If it rings, it has the possibility of the miracle that I'm believing God for. Every time I walk through these doors, I expect there to be somebody here that needs and will receive a miracle. My faith is extreme. We have seen great miracles in our life and in this church, but I don't believe that we have seen the best miracles yet or the biggest miracles yet. There are things that I'm hoping for. Do you see any evidence of them? I don't need to see any evidence. I just know that God is able. I know that God has the want to. I know that God is not only able, but God is willing. It is the will of God to heal everybody in this building, including my leg. It's the will of God to perform a miracle in your children's life. It's the will of God to bring money to you that you need to do whatever God has called you to do. And so I stir your faith up right now and tell you that God is here to enlarge your place of habitation. God is here to increase your vision. God is here to refurbish your hope to where you will begin to hope for things that are silly to those that are not spirit-filled. Their faith was so strong, these five men. It doesn't say this very often, but it said their faith was so strong that Jesus could see their faith. I wonder what it takes for Jesus to be able to see your faith. I looked in the Word of God for that phrase, and it's not there many times. But when it says Jesus saw somebody's faith, it was because of what they were doing. My question to you, if you need a real miracle in your life, and you want extreme faith, what are you doing that's so far off the chart that it would cause Jesus to see you and say, there is a woman of tremendous faith. There is a man of tremendous faith. Let's talk about these men that had tremendous faith. These were men of tremendous importunity. Not opportunity, but importunity. Importunity means when you get a no, you keep right on coming. It means when times are tough, you keep right on coming. When everything says no, you say yes, you keep right on coming. That's what importunity is. It's the widow woman going to the judge's door and knocking every day, and she would not give up. That's the real essence of faith. And God has given somebody in this building that kind of faith. He wants you to push doubt to the side and get up every day and say, this is going to be the day of importunity. This is going to be the day of miracles. This is going to be the day where I am going to see the miracle that I've claimed the last number of years. These were men of opportunity. What did it take to get that man ready to travel? When you've got a man that is sick, he's been sick for a while, you don't just rush out of the door. You've got to get him ready and prepare him. There was faith as they arranged his blankets, as they made sure maybe that he had drinking water with him, as they made sure he was going to be warm enough. These men were something. They were men of great faith. They were preparing for a miracle. Prepare for a miracle in your life. There are people that still come to this church. They came to me 40 years ago and said, Pastor, we cannot have children. The doctor said we will not have children. It's impossible for me as a mother to conceive. I simply do not have the physical things I need to have a baby. And I want a baby. I prayed for them as a couple at the altar next door. And within about a year, they had a baby. And within 2 or 3 years, they had a second baby. It's my privilege to see those people in this church regularly on every Sunday. And every time I see them, my faith goes up. My miracle meter goes off. Praise God. Because not only do I see them, both of those children are adults now, and I see them come with the spouses they have married. There have been tremendous miracles happen in this church, but we need to prepare that we're going to go into a season of miracles like we have never known before, like we have never experienced before. We need extreme faith that says God can and that God will. He saw people that believed what they said. These men believed what they said. They said, we're going down to the house that Jesus is in. And when we get there, we will see Jesus. And when we see Jesus and he speaks us, sir, you are going to get up off of that cot. You're going to be sick no more. He saw five men that could not be influenced by the crowd of people. You see, when they got there, it was a crowd of people. It was like a rock concert. They didn't have a ticket. That house they were in was full of people. The crowd around the door was so great, you couldn't even get to the door. Most people would quit. But these were men of extreme faith. And they said, we're not going to let people come in between us and Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're going to have this kind of faith, extreme faith, I can promise you the devil is always going to put somebody between you and Jesus Christ. It's up to you to figure out how you can get around that somebody and get to Jesus. It might be some well-meaning person. It might be a doctor. It might be a lawyer. It might be a mother-in-law. Or it might just be somebody that's totally against Christianity and particularly against spirit-filled Christianity. You've got to say, no matter what it takes, I've got that faith that is extreme. And I will not stop being close. Somebody said, oh, I'm getting really close. Close is not good enough, except in hand grenades and horseshoes, and we're not playing either one. You have to get better than close. You have to be able to reach out and touch him. You have to be an arm's length of Jesus Christ. And the devil's operation is that he will always keep somebody in your ear. Somebody's always going to be talking to you and explaining why it doesn't happen. There's always going to be a telecast that's going to tear away your faith. Particularly being injured, I'm seeing more television right now and there's not much on. You know, Jesse Duplantis told me when he was here, he said, Steve, there's a whole army of young preachers coming on. And he said, they're so talented in so many ways. But he said, listen to them. None of them are faith preachers. I watch television on the Christian channels, and there's several of them. And there's some people that are so able, both men and women. And they get on there and they preach, but they don't preach faith. Because the devil is doing everything he can to keep the faith message underground. He does not want it to surface in the church of the living God. For if we begin to believe that the God that was is the God that is, if we believe that what happened in the book of Acts will happen in our church every time we gather together, if we believe that miracles are going to happen on a regular basis, we are going to disrupt the devil's agenda. We are going to shake the foundation of hell. But we must believe not only that God is able and that God is willing, but it's happening right now. We're not waiting for you to have faith. You've already got faith. He said, according to the faith that is in you. But I want to stir it up. Somebody said, well, you need to preach it more against sin. I see it all the time. There are people on Facebook, and they're just little people on there in their house, and they're always reprimanding pastors for not preaching against sin. You're not preaching against sin enough, pastors. And they say it over and over and over and over again. Friend, just preaching against sin will not bring the avalanche of God's power. But preaching about faith will cause a miracle to happen that will make it where there is no room for sin. Just talking about sin does not get the job done. We've got to talk about something that will cause the power of God to show up in such a way that people simply will not participate in those things that are ungodly, because they will be involved in so much of faith activity, they wouldn't even have time to be involved in sin. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you to pray for me that I will preach so much faith in this pulpit that it will cause your faith to grow. It will cause your faith to increase. Oh, hallelujah. These men actually tore the roof off of the house. They couldn't find a window. They couldn't get to the door. Extreme faith. One man's got on all fours. Another one's still on his back. Jumped up on that rooftop, and one by one, they pulled themselves up there. How they got the bed up there, I do not know. It was quite an engineering feat, but it was done by five men of extreme faith. And all of a sudden, they were tearing the tile off. Jesus, the Bible said, was in the house, and he was preaching the word of God. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, plaster. Oh, I got a little plaster in my hair. Excuse me. He preached on a little bit. A few more bits of plaster fell down. And then a big sheet of Jesus looked up. It stopped the sermon. You know, the greatest things that happen in the Bible and in the church is when the power of God interrupts a sermon. Even Jesus' sermon was interrupted. Peter's sermon was interrupted. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. What happens to cause a sermon to be interrupted? Somebody out there boils over. Somebody in the congregation, in the seats, their faith gets so stirred up, they just cannot contain it. And faith that cannot be contained will always cause an interruption. And suddenly Jesus is interrupted in the midst of what he is talking about. He steps back as the hole begins to be enlarged, and he sees their hands tearing away the tile. There are those that are now with him that expect a strong rebuke from the vandals that would tear the roof off. That they got no rebuke from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is a lover of human faith. People that love faith and say, I believe that God is my God. I believe that my God is greater than my doctor. I believe God is greater than my boss. I believe God is greater than my banker. God is greater than anybody I know. And I trust in God. And I believe God is going to work into my life. And I believe there is somebody in this building right now on a Sunday morning. There is somebody in this building that needs a miracle. And all I'm doing is tinkering with your faith. All I'm doing is increasing your faith and telling you that God knows you by name and that God loves you as much as he's ever loved any human on the face of the earth. And God wants to take that faith that is inside of you, and he wants to cause it to begin to form like an earthquake. There should be a rumbling inside of you as your faith is inside of you, out of your belly. It's supposed to come out of you. Somebody in this building needs a genuine miracle, and God is there, the exchange of God's presence, and your faith is going to cause something to happen in your body that has never, ever happened before, just like it did here. They tore the roof off. They tore enough roof off, not just a little hole, but they tore enough roof off to get a bed through. They must have had some ropes on the bed. Maybe they had tied some blankets on the bed. But hand over hand, they let him down until that bed was sitting right there in front of Jesus. All those people that were normal, all those people that had obeyed all the rules, all the people that had a number like they were at Baskin Robbins, number 13, number 12, number 11, they all held their number in their hand and said, he's out of line. Let me tell you something. Faith will always get out of line. Faith will not be normal. Faith will not meet all the rules and regulations. Faith will bypass the normal church-going Christian, and something glorious will happen for that individual. You need to get to the place where you cannot be hushed and you cannot be shut up, because you know inside of me, my faith is beginning to move. That means Jesus Christ is about to appear in my life. My body is about to be healed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Praise God, my bank account's about to be fixed. My family is about to be reordered. My boss is going to give me a raise. My job is going to give me an increase. A door is going to open. Hey, I feel it. There is a promise coming down that dusty road, and it's in this room right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The expectation of the masses was foiled that day. We hear nothing about it. We don't know whether Jesus reached down and picked up a closed sign and put it in the window and said, shut the door. We just don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us that he reached out and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And when he said that, there was an explosion, because the Pharisees were already suspicious that he thought he was God. And that's what they said. Who can forgive sins except God alone? That was a calling card of a deity that people just were not ready for. But the man on the bed was ready for the announcement. I am that I am. I am that I am. I am the one that Moses saw, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Beside me there is no other. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in this very building called Living Way Church, we're different than 99% of the churches in San Antonio, because we believe that Jesus is a miracle worker. Not just an apologist, but a miracle worker. I'm telling you that Christ is in this room right now. And somebody could stand up in your pew and just walk out to this aisle and say, I am the one. I need a miracle, and I need it so badly. I dare you to walk out of your pew and walk to the front of this building and say, Jesus Christ is working a miracle in me right now. I see it. I see it. I feel it. I praise him. I praise him with everything that is in me. He is a miracle working God. Oh, hallelujah. Let your faith go. Let your faith explode. Oh, hallelujah. Ma'am, God is working a miracle in your body and in your life right now. This very moment, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God.